It's decorating with Dunkin'.
Hey, your desk looks great. Really festive with all the decorations.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, this Dunkin' Peppermint Mocha Latte gave me a little pick-me-up, and I decided to go for it.
Whoa, you even lined your desk drawers with musical lights?
Yep, and look what's inside. A Dunkin' Gingerbread S'mores Latte for you.
Get holiday in a Dunkin' with a $2 medium latte, cappuccino, or Americano from 2 to 6 p.m. The holidays run on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Hi, this is Natalie Lander, voice of Kinsey, Tara Branford, Stargirl, and many others. You are listening to a W2Mnet podcast. You can visit W2Mnet.com for other podcasts about entertainment, video games, sports, and wrestling. You are listening to Video Games to the Max.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Video Games to the Max. I'm your host, Sean Garman. This is episode 207 of the show. And of course, we'd also like to thank Last Word Radio and Last Word On Life for partnering with us as well. And here with me as always, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
Well, Mark, kind of got hit with a lot of stuff thanks to the Game Awards as far as awards and mostly some big trailers and some unexpected things, too, that we'll talk about.
Yep, and some real hilarious stuff as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be the Game Awards without that kind of stuff. I guess it wasn't as bad as in previous years, you'd say, but
I mean, still. The show itself wasn't as embarrassing as, like previous years or previous shows, but there were still some trailers and especially some music performances that were really funny.
Yeah, and some things that maybe will get put into games because now people can't think of it without that either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. You know, I know that we meant to do a post-show. It kind of didn't happen, and then at that point, it was kind of pointless for us to do that. So we're not going to, like, go through everything like we would have had the show happen on that Thursday night.
We don't want to talk about Shroud won Content Creator of the Year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, whatever works for those people. But you know, there was some. So, I mean, I guess let's start here. Let's talk about what did you think of the show in general as a whole? Because I thought, okay, I get it. You can't have just awards at these things because we're. You have so many of those other ones that are like that that don't get shown at all. You know, GDC, DICE, all that stuff. Here, you know, Jeff Keighley's kind of made it. It's almost like here's an E3 before, you know, after E3 already took place with awards, with other stuff. I still felt like it maybe was a little bit too long.
I mean, 3 hours, so.
I don't know why it needs to be 3 hours.
And it was, it was especially weird because there's, like, at a certain point, you just were belting out awards. Like, I think it was, like, best strategy game and maybe, like, best action game. And, like, one of their big award was, like, they just said it. It's just, like, here's the award, and that was it. Like, they didn't have anyone come up from the, you know, team or whatever. They just did, like, three quick awards, just, like, you know, in the span of 30 seconds, and it's like, what just happened? Like, if I went to the bathroom at that point, I would have been screwed.
No, yeah, there was times where it certainly felt like, is this an award show, or is this, you know, an announcement? you know, show with awards around it, with also musical performances, with also, like, other things. Look, I get it. Jeff Keighley's trying to make, like, a variety show. And what? It's hard to get people to watch a stream for 3 hours and all that stuff. But I still think, like, it'd be nice if he could find a better way to balance this. Because it really did feel like, at times, like, hey, cool, we're getting some of these ads. But some of them were just, like, I think almost every trading card game or something of that to that effect, you know, or some kind of ongoing game got some trailer, and it was just like, and they all seemed to happen one after the other too, where it was just like, okay, I get it, we might need an intermission, but this is like too much. what was it? Magic. League of Legends was doing that, I guess, single player stuff now, so they got like two in a row almost.
That Apex Legends thing was beyond terrible.
I thought it was their Borderlands at first, and then all of a sudden they showed like Apex people, and I was like, oh, okay, I get what this is, but yeah, that was not great. And yeah, it just felt awkward, because there was like, I think it's okay that he did do some of that with the awards. Like, you don't need some of those to be shown, because, you know, we got to remember these are game developers, they're not actors, they're not really used to these speech things, and not only do you run the thing where they might run long, it's also like, are they really going to be wanting to be up there talking and doing all that? I don't think that you needed to have a bunch of these people come in and talk about the trailer afterwards. Also, for some of them, it was just like, really? Okay, we just saw this trailer. Good. You know, go on. And that, I don't know, they didn't, to me, I get why they did it, right? Like, Fast and Furious at the end, because you got Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez to show up. But man, that game didn't look good.
That looked like first generation. It looked like that, the sequel to, like, The Wheelman that Vin Diesel did on the 360. Yeah. It's like, oh man, this is bad.
I mean, to be fair, it is, the Project Cars people, and they're not really known for making humans.
So yeah.
Maybe it'll get better, but I guess as long as the car gameplay is good, that's what matters, right?
I mean, he does have, like, at least a passing familiarity with good games, but not that big a one.
Yeah, I think overall this might have been the best one. I mean, for what that's worth, I think it was fine for what it is. In a year where we're certainly waiting for the next big thing to happen next year, I think this is kind of the best of what you could hope for. I'm still not sure about having Green Day. I like Green Day. Don't get me wrong.
I'm actually really indifferent to Green Day. I've only heard like one or two of their songs.
I mean, my best friend is from, you know, when I was in college, his favorite band was Green Day, so I had to hear a lot of their songs. Eventually, I kind of just, it grew on me. But I fell asleep during Green Day as well. It's not that it was boring, it was just kind of like, we had gotten into that lull that I talked about with all the trailers about stuff that particularly wasn't very interesting to me personally. And then Green Day comes on, I'm just like, alright, I'm taking a nap, because there's still like an hour left of this show.
You missed it, but the audience itself also took a nap.
No, yeah, there was a huge dip. I think they showed it. There was a huge dip in the stream when Green Day comes on.
Yeah, it was
pretty funny. Then it goes down from there.
Like, I think the main singer, he tries to rally like the crowd at a certain point, and they're just not having it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of those things of, like, you have to kind of know the audience. I think the, I'm sorry, I don't know the band of churches.
No idea.
The other, the lady that sang?
Oh, yeah, I tuned out from that as well. I don't like the song at all.
I thought that was perhaps more in tune with maybe video gamey stuff, but I still feel like just get the orchestra out there and do that thing that they do for the game of, you know, the game of the year stuff, and maybe do one where you play some things from like games. But I don't need, I don't know that you need a popular act to come out there and sing songs.
Well, I mean, the reason they got Green Day is, well, two reasons. One is that stupid Beat Saber pack.
Right, yeah. And they have a new album, I think, too.
But the other reason is because then, you know, having Green Day, it's a play for legitimacy. Like, hey, we don't just have, you know, some no-name band that you never heard of. Like, hey, we have Green Day. So we've now, like, officially made it.
Right. I totally get what he's doing, but
yeah,
still doesn't play. Still doesn't play very well with the audience that's watching the the stream.
And it, like I said, it didn't play with the audience in the theater also. So
let's get into. I don't know that you can really with the awards. I mean, I don't know if there was anybody that got totally robbed. I think. I was surprised Disco Elysium won 4 awards.
Well, Indie Darling, that I mean, has like universal positive reviews. So
right. I think it's one of the highest rated games, or perhaps the highest rated game of this year.
Yeah.
I think, and this is a year where, you know, we're gonna have the same problem when we go through our top 25 in a couple of days. Of really, you could pick apart almost any game that came out this year for one reason or another. You're gonna have, I think, Death Stranding right now is sort of leading the charge. I think the last time I looked, Death Stranding was leading by like 10, but there was other games that had also like right behind them, you know, 7 places, you know, 7 votes down. You had a lot of, you know, mixed thoughts on this year. Yeah. Sekiro winning not only its category, which, you know, I think that wasn't the worst idea of, okay, if this game already won for something, just tell them that this game won for that, and then the bigger award, you show it. You know, like, I don't know, I mean, with Disco Elysium, it was kind of weird because it was like, oh, they've won 3 awards, but here they're going to find out about one that they won here.
Yeah.
You know? So it perhaps doesn't work with every one of them, but, you know, well, Sekiro winning in a year where there really wasn't any, like, standout, oh my god, this is the game, doesn't surprise me. But any of those games could have won, I think.
So. Yeah. Except for maybe Death Stranding.
Hey, it's winning in it for a lot of other places, so, you know.
Yeah.
There, you get that. But, I mean, Disco Elysium wins Best RPG, Best Narrative, Fresh Indie Game, and then the Fresh, like, or the Indie Developer, and then also Indie Game. So, you know.
Well, they wanted to give that nice ginger woman time to speak twice.
Yeah. What was, I think they just still like some weird pacing stuff with what Keighley tries to do. Like, you know, again, the Muppets are a shot at legitimacy of getting, hey, we got the Muppets on here.
At one point they were, but I mean, not much any, like, it was a nice, cute moment, but it's just like, hey, the Muppets are,
I think,
relevant.
There's a lot of people that want Beaker and the Goose Game now.
Yeah, that'll be a mod on Steam whenever, you know. I'm sure if not now, then in a few weeks.
But, you know, having that go right before the Games for Impact, I don't know about that. Kind of sends the wrong message to me. But other than that, you know, it was what it was. I think the bigger takeaways, obviously the awards are what they are. Every outlet has them. So even though this is a legitimate thing, I don't know where you... They can call this the Oscars of video games, but I wonder if because you have every outlet out there doing their game of the year and all that stuff, how much of this does it really matter? Do people really pay that much attention, you know, to it? I think what's nice is the sales that happen.
Yeah.
Because of this too.
Yep.
So, that helps. And at the end of the day, I think this is one of the reasons why Keeley said he doesn't want to do it next year or even in December, you know, later in December or in January, is because they're trying to give one little bigger, one little bit more of a push to some of these games to go on that sale and get bought because they just watched them on this award show. So,
yeah,
that's helpful too.
Yep.
Let's get into, I think, probably perhaps some of the more important things, because it's looking into next year. The announcements. And yep, perhaps none bigger than Microsoft coming out and just, hey, here's our console. This is what it's called. Or at least the more expensive one. Oh yeah, and there's a Hellblade 2. Like, That's unexpected. I thought, well, they're surely going to wait for E3 for all this stuff or whatever. Hey, but show it before the year's over.
I think they wanted to call the Hellblade. I mean, that's not that unexpected, because the first one obviously did well. And then this one looks a lot more combat-oriented. The Xbox is, it's a nice surprise, because I mean, it obviously gets way ahead of PlayStation 5.
Right.
So that's why they didn't do it at E3. The problem with that is the name is terrible, and the system looks awful.
Oh, that's like a computer tower. I mean,
yeah, it looks like they're sort of like they bought all the old cases from the Mac Pros or whatever that were like catching on fire because they didn't have good circulation, and say, "Hey, we can fix that."
Yep, just add a big old vent on the top.
That's the thing, is they're like, oh, you can use the system horizontally, but it's like, how do I put it in my entertainment center? Because it looks too big to fit in like a regular entertainment, like most people's entertainment centers.
No, it looks, I think it looks bigger than it actually is.
Yeah.
So that's not, that's a little bit misleading. I think it's supposed to be actually smaller than what it actually looks like, just seeing it. You know, I think the controller itself is a little bit bigger than the current one they have, but well, it's not
I,
by
I
much.
I mean, the controller is like so similar that it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I mean, fix the D-pad and like have a new start button, but that's about it.
They did fix the D-pad. Supposedly it's based off the Elite 2 D-pad or something.
But it's just like the whole, like the tower itself looks just gnarly. Or just looks so bad. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Series X is, I mean, I know it's already getting called the Xbox Sex and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think there's a, I want to say, like, stockbrokers, they have to pass something called a Series 7 exam.
Right.
And it made me just think of that.
I think what they're going for is kind of letting you know that perhaps we're not going to see, at least for Microsoft, we're not going to see another Xbox 3 or anything like that. They're just going to keep iterating on this, and that's what it's going to be.
Well,
and yeah.
It'd be interesting if, like, the case is removable, and you can just, like, upgrade the parts into it, so it really is just a computer.
Yeah, I wonder if they do something like that, or they just, yeah, introduce some kind of upgrade thing where you don't have to replace the box, or maybe Microsoft themselves give you some kind of hey, upgrade for something off.
I also just think the name is bad. Like, it's either time to ditch the Xbox name completely, or just slap a number on it, like a sequential number. Like, we know the drill. It's fine.
Oh, I don't think you have to do that.
Because remember the Wii to the Wii U, how much brand confusion there was?
Right. There's going to be brand confusion here because you have an Xbox One X that is still going to be viable when this thing comes out because Halo Infinite's also coming for the Xbox One X. Yeah. And there's also going to be probably a Series S to go along with, you know, the Xbox One S, which is, you know, the all-digital thing that they're still discussing and probably making at this point. You know, I don't know. I personally don't really care. I mean, I do think it's going to cause problems for, you know, your grandmas and your...
I mean, yeah, people like us, we don't care. But, you know, if some soccer mom comes in, you know, wanting a, you know, the Christmas present for, you know, a 10-year-old kid and goes, I want the Xbox X, you know, the salesperson is going to be like...
I mean, but a lot of these soccer moms are ordering things on Amazon now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in Amazon, all you got to do is read the description, and it says, coming 2020, this is the new Xbox, or whatever, you know, like, I mean, I don't know how much your electronics person at Walmart's going to be able to help you if you go to there, but if you're ordering online, there shouldn't be much confusion unless you're looking at prices.
Right.
Then, you know.
And then the mom will see, like, oh, one is $300 and one is $500 or $600.
No, it'll be $500. I mean, unless they're packaging it with like a year of Xbox Live and Game Pass and all that other, which I don't think they're gonna do, but
right.
Yeah, I think this is more about, okay, here it is. We got it out there. We're doing this. This is a series. It's not going to... You're not going to need something else because we're just... That's what it feels like. We're just going to keep introducing boxes in this series of... Until they decide not to do it anymore or whatever. I don't know, but... I guess I need more information on whatever they're going to do with that. But hey, Phil Spencer's the one that said, we name our boxes based on what we think they're about. And
so then what is Series X about then, Phil? Like,
just that it's a series of systems that are going to just continue to be.
Yeah, but it's like we're Series 9 or we're Series, you know. Or is Series X the one that has both Titus and Yuna in it? well, this system have the sphere grid as the main, as the UI for the system.
Yeah.
It's really funny to me, like, that Xbox One has gone through at least 3 or 4 different major UI revisions over its like lifespan.
Right.
And they've all been terrible, near as I can tell. And, like, the PlayStation 4, I mean, it's had some functionality added to it, like, to make it simpler, but it's, like, had the same basic design since the first one rolled off the shelves. And it's like, doesn't this kind of tell you something? Like,
well, they want to give you options, and that's what Microsoft's been all about with everything they've been doing.
Yeah, but, like,
no.
It's like, it says a lot that their first, like the original Xbox 360 UI, the Blade system, is still so revered, like because it was simple and basic, and easy to navigate. And now, you know,
well, they had to take the Kinect stuff out. They had to change that around. They still haven't really changed that UI that much. It's still based on that system because there was only so much they could do with it.
Yeah. You know, I think it's so funny.
Yeah, it is funny. I agree with you. But some of that's on them for doing the stuff with the Kinect from the beginning. You know, moving on from that, Godfall, the Gearbox game, became the first trailer to have PS5 at the end. I don't think you really saw enough of Godfall to be able to...
Jens and I have been playing Borderlands 3. That is not a pleasant experience for either of us.
That doesn't sound great. Why not?
The shooting is fine. The quests are very dumb and basic. But just, like, the characters ad nauseum talking constantly. And being the worst written characters in a game ever. It's like, oh man, this is terrible. Jens is like 1,500 miles away, or 2,000 miles away. I can see it when we play together. I can feel his soul being sucked out from the game by the terrible writing.
Oh, that. Well, there you go. Ring an endorsement for Borderlands 3, people.
That'll be on both of our Game of the Year lists.
One game I am super excited about, even though there was already a Bravely Default 2. Bravely Default 2, because Nintendo couldn't just slap a 3 on it. But there's already a Bravely Second. Why are we calling this Bravely Default 2?
Because Bravely Second was supposed to be 1.2. It's just like Final Fantasy. It's just like Final Fantasy 10-2.
I'm just excited it exists. It looked cool. I'm glad there's more Bravely coming. Can't wait to see more of it on the Switch.
Yeah.
Are you excited about the Weird West game?
Considering that's like who that it's weird from? Western game.
Yeah, from the people that made Prey and Dishonored.
Maybe. It's isometric. It looks like an old style, like Infinity Engine game, but like done better. And the Western angle might be cool.
I don't know how much you can really take out of the new PUBG game because you really saw nothing.
Yeah, they showed that and that League of Legends crap, and it's like I don't care about any of this.
Or not PUBG, PlayerUnknown. Sorry.
Yeah. Well. So yeah. Same. I'm calling. It's the same thing.
I am glad that Ori and the Will of the Wisps has a release date. So, because I'm excited to play that. Gears Tactics finally got announced, which that was looked awesome. So yeah, down for that.
XCOM Gears.
Hey, you know what? Do it if you can make it work. Ghost of Tsushima looks great as well. So, summer 2020.
Speaking of great, did you watch that Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance trailer?
Yes.
That was the funniest trailer ever.
Why?
The two biggest reasons was none of the characters' heads looked connected to their bodies. Especially the first character, like the warrior guy with the two swords, he is like gesticulating wildly. He's looks like he's doing like a cartwheel motion with his hand with his arms. But his head is all, like, spinning around like a dreidel.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on here? And to top it all off, like, every character kind of looked like that. Like, the dwarf looked a little better, I guess. But every character looked, like, just not animated correctly. And to top it all off, they have that, like, new metal song playing. And it's like, yep, this is what you want to identify Dungeons & Dragons with.
Exactly.
Like you couldn't find some orchestral song or something from Lord of the Rings. You have to find this fucking new metal band that no one has ever heard of. And it's like, no? No? Like, I want someone to recut that trailer with, like, Beastie Boys Sabotage or something like that. That would be a somewhat more fitting song for this thing than that song.
All right. So, anything else that got your attention as far as announcements go?
Let's see.
Like, I like the No More Heroes 3.
Well, it's a good mea culpa since that last one sucked.
Yeah. I mean, but the other one kind of leads into that, I guess, now. So, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
How much did the Wolf Among Us 2 surprise you?
I mean, a little, but not really, because I know someone else bought that studio, or bought the name. So,
surprisingly, WB kind of let them have their stuff again, well, after all the other ones kind of didn't.
Not as much, because, I mean, who else is going to do it? Or, you know, someone else does it, and people might get more pissed. I will say that 9 to 5 game looked terrible.
Yep. I agree.
It looked sub Conquer to me.
That is not a ringing endorsement there.
The MUA 3 stuff looked okay, but I can't imagine anyone's still playing that game.
And yeah, I mean, this is part of the stuff they promised the X-Men, and
yeah. And Final Fantasy VII looked good, like, still.
Yeah, of course. I was, glad to see a little bit more from that, so.
It's weird. It's really funny to me, kind of, how they keep showing it, which kind of scares me to an extent. But how much they keep showing that stupid Scorpion boss fight. Because that thing is so inconsequential in the grand scheme of in the grand scheme of that game. It's like, if you keep showing this, what does that say about the rest of this thing? Like, holy crap.
I don't know that it's very long. I mean, wasn't there a leak of the soundtrack or whatever? And it didn't seem like it went very far into the...
Right, like, it's just all... It's like what I saw. It's all Midgar stuff. So...
That's like a big point, and then they might add in some extra missions and extra things that kind of elongate it.
Well, I imagine it's going to be like a lot like Final Fantasy 15, where you can like now take side jobs and go around Midgar, and you basically become like a bounty hunter or something, or you like have to capture guys or something like that.
Yeah.
Might be fun. Like, I'm not saying that it'll be bad, but it's just like, all right. you don't need to show this one boss fight over and over. But I also don't remember a ton of other boss fights in that game. So,
there's the one a little bit after, like when Rufus shows up.
Yeah. Well, I think they showed off. Oh, that was Final Fantasy. In Final Fantasy 14, they're adding Ruby Weapon, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, on the whole, the show was okay. Like, it wasn't super memorable, but it wasn't also, like, embarrassing.
It wasn't very so bad either. Yeah. No no big thing from Nintendo
this year. Yeah, I think they were expecting, like, you know, the last, whatever, Final or Smash Brothers character, and it's like...
Yeah, because they have to give it in by February, or... I guess that means we're getting a January Direct.
Yeah, like, oh, we increased Mars uppercut damage by 0.1% and everyone will freak out or something.
I'm just excited that in January we're getting the Tokyo Mirage Sessions, so...
But it's a censored copy, so who cares, man?
Come on, people, really?
Yeah.
Did you really expect Nintendo to be all about being uncensored for a major release like that? Even the Japanese one's the censored one.
Apparently. People are like way too uptight, or like too obsessed with that type of stuff.
It's we're going to boycott the game now. Okay, well, that's great for other Japanese game releases that don't see the light of day often.
Yeah.
Like, just support it.
Yeah, I guess if you pre-order Final Fantasy VII through Amazon, you're going to get some special theme or something. So.
Oh, for the PS4.
Cool. Yeah. Which is dumb. I am like really obsessed with getting themes. I don't know why.
It's so. I like them too. It's cool. Like I liked the Final Fantasy VII theme when I had it because it played the. One of the songs, or.
Was it One Winged Angel?
No, I think it played the piano song from.
Okay.
Like Tifa's theme, but like slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have been playing Cid's theme. Because that's a boss theme right there.
Yeah, no, that theme is awesome. Yeah, I think that does it for the Game Awards. I mean, again, it was a fine award show. Probably could have focused a little bit more on the awards.
Yeah, but we say that every year.
The announcements were not as big as they have been in years past. But I think that's because everybody's kind of waiting for next gen.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine the one next year will be back to form as far as the announcements go.
I think it's funny. I don't know about you. I think only one guy, I think it's Jens, has played Sekiro, and that's it. Has Daniel or Randy or
Stephanie
anyone else,
you know? Stephanie reviewed it.
Okay.
She loved it, obviously. She's a Dark Souls person.
See, it's funny. Jens didn't like it, and he is a Dark Souls person.
Well, it's completely opposite of Dark Souls as far as the gameplay goes.
Well, he likes those types of games in general. I'm like, all right.
I mean, that was a very much loved game by a lot of people. So
he's currently obsessed with Code Vein. I'm like, wow. All right.
Yep, I got off that one quick. Even though it had the anime-ish storyline, I was like, nope.
I don't know. Did Adam give it to you?
How did I get that?
I remember there was some email. I think I got there was some email from Adam about who wanted it, and I didn't want it. I'm like, no way.
I think it might have been him, yeah. But I was just kind of like, this is not for me. And I'm totally lost. I have no idea where the hell I'm supposed to be going. It's like, this map does not explain to you anything about whether you've been here or not before. It kind of does, but then it kind of doesn't. And I know that's how Bloodborne and Dark Souls work.
Yeah.
But,
it's like how all the stupid games work. And that's another reason why I'm not a huge fan of most of them.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason I feel like Remnant quite a bit. It's because Remnant had, like, you go into an area. And it would be a decently large area, but it would have like an entrance and an exit and like maybe like one or two side dungeons, and that's about it. Areas didn't loop around and shit like that, or, you know, that's how the Surge 2 is. Like, a constant, like, you go in, like, one area, and it basically like makes a big circle back to, like, your hub area.
Exactly. That's what that does.
You just unlock a shortcut. It's like, man, this is annoying and dumb. Like,
and it's like there's no the enemies show up again and all that stuff, and I'm just kind of like, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've been here or not. Great.
Right.
I know people that are Dark Souls fans are probably just like, you guys are idiots, but sorry.
Well, they just need to learn to accept those are bad games and move on with their life.
Well, I'm like, Code Vein was not great, and it seems like not a lot of people were big fans of it. Almost everybody, because Surge 2 came out like in the same week.
Yeah, it was weird.
I think almost everybody that I heard reviewing both games were like, yeah, if you really need that fix, just play Surge 2, because Code Vein is not it.
Yeah. Well, Jens loves it, but I think he just loves it because it has a good character creator and a good good soundtrack, and that's about it.
Oh, well, I'd agree with that. It does have a really, really deep character creator. I was kind of like, holy crap, you can make all kinds of anime characters in this game.
See, my problem with that is I'm just not creative, so I just usually just pick, like, default male, and, like, maybe change the eye color, and that's about it. I'm like, yeah, it's good enough.
Yeah, it's... You don't have to be. It's you're not a... You're a whoever, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, I know it's not like they're going to go. Game, so So the first question I asked Jens was, hey, do they sparkle? But.
Well, yeah. Well, let's before we get into what we're, I forgot to talk about that at the beginning. We're going to kind of look back at the year and talk about where the big three kind of are heading into next year. We know that both, obviously, Xbox announced theirs already. We know PlayStation got the PS5, but kind of looking ahead to next year, that last bit of this generation, what that means, all that, and as well as for Nintendo, everything else. We're going to do that right after we talk about games we've been playing. Of course, like I mentioned before, barring anything crazy, because apparently Daniel does have early tickets to Star Wars, so it may just be Mark Jens and I for a little while until he gets to join, because I don't know if I can wait till 1 a.m. to start all the time. I've been trying to play games to kind of be able to talk more when we do our top 25 for game of the year and kind of solidify my personal top 10. Been playing more Pokemon. I'm up to like the 7th gym right now. Just got into the... Oh God, I forgot the name of the town that has the Dark Gym Leader in it. Played some Gears 5. That's certainly more Gears.
A ringing endorsement.
No. I mean, Gears 4 was good. Was great. So
it was fine. Like, I played Gears with Jens, and I think the problem is I really didn't like the story, or it felt like very, like, chasing fucking Marcus around when he's eaten by that, you know, that monster. It's like, this is going on for a little too long. Like, I like the idea of, like, going around that one big city, like the robot city. That was cool.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, yep, just facing all these stupid monsters again, like... All right.
Well, this one certainly goes off of Gears 4, because at the beginning they tell you a previously on Gears, yeah. Even.
Now you're at least playing a decent character of Kate, so that's good.
Well, the first mission you have to play is JD, so that's not too great, but yeah, I've played the first couple of missions so far. I've been enjoying it. I'm a big Gears fan, so was always amped to play Gears 5. Played some of Astral Chain, and that game is super fun. I love dumb action stuff, so... It has a little interesting story with the... what are they called? Chimeras that show up from these black gates, and... You have your own chimera, and you get to have at it with those against them. And your characters also have guns and freaking cool swords. So, why not? This one has a very basic character creator that you get to choose whether you want to be the twin sister or the twin brother, and then the other character. They're both named Akira.
It's nice to see the aunt referencing anything.
Yeah. And, I like the setting. I like the story so far. I think it's kind of shaping up to be one of my favorite games of the year. I was expecting it to be, but, man, Platinum makes great stuff, and this is another one of those.
It's weird how, like, little buzz that game got. Like, I think, like, sneaked out, no one played it, no one cared really.
Well, it was always like, I don't think it was ever going to get the publicity that Nier got, you know.
No, but
so,
I think they were at least expecting it to do as well as like Bayonetta 2 did or something, you know.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of, there was other stuff that came out at the same time as that. Oh, Control came out. the same week, which kind of killed its thunder too, you know. But Astral Chain just looked very okay. This is like one of those platinum games that it's if you're like a Japanese game kind of person or anime kind of person, this is right up your alley, but perhaps not gonna, you know, catch your attention maybe like Nier did. And yeah, like when you have a great go ahead.
I mean, it's missing the philosophical storyline, so
that too, but I think when you have such a great game like Control comes out that same week and just it took a little bit, I think, for people to rave about it, but once they started, it didn't stop. So,
yeah,
that kills your. Also, no, Nier came out on PC too, right?
Much later.
So it's a PS4. Yeah, I don't know. It just, I think it just, it kind of gave you that vibe of, well, it's a platinum game, but it's a new IP, and maybe it's not gonna.
I think like Platinum has a weird reputation about launching IPs, because some of their stuff is great and some of it's not so great.
True. This one is certainly one of the great ones, though. So maybe they will continue it.
Sure.
For Nintendo, I also played my friend Pedro. It's on Game Pass. Yeah, it's fun. It's dumb fun. Like, it has the bullet time and the where you can focus and you can double aim and you can. It's the typical like Devolver dumb. Like, we're just gonna let you do whatever the fuck you want, and you know, like. You know, Katana Zero had the rewind and fast, the slow down gameplay mechanic as part of their thing. My friend Pedro just does it because it wants to be cool, and the banana freaking talks to you, and yeah, I mean, you have a freaking banana talk to you. And what else?
I was like, Shadows of the Damned.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you want? What else do you want? It's just dumb fun. So
good.
And I played some Devil May Cry as well, which is another game of just pure action for the sake of just action that follows the Devil May Cry storyline, which I know nothing about because I think I've played like parts of one and that's it. So.
Well, I think they like that Devil May Cry reboot, like, screwed it up, kind of. I'm still bitter about that, not going forward, but I think that's just me.
So what have you been, you got a lot to play, so.
Yeah, the things I've been playing Star Wars Jedi, or Fallen Order Jedi, whatever the fuck it's called.
Jedi Fallen Order.
Tomb Raider Jedi, let's call it that. The combat is not, it is slightly Dark Soul-ish, because it can only have one attack button. Like, it's very combo, or it's very, like, counter-heavy. Like, you know, you counter at the right time, and you can deal, like, a lot of damage. And you can only restore health, like, a few different times before you can, like, rest and get it back for some unknown reason. Like, they don't quite explain how that happens. At least Dark Souls was just like, hey, it's magic, it's cool. In this game, it's like, you're like popping like stim packs, but then when you rest, they're like, oh, you get your stim packs back. I was like, how does this work? Like, but yeah, it's great. A lot of fun, good acting from Cameron Moynihan, I think that's his name. I've liked him in Shameless quite a bit over the years. Are you descending? What's going on?
No, I'm trying not to be in the. Well, I put myself on mute because I had to drink some water.
Okay. And then,
yeah. I don't know what happened after that.
they got like super loud for a second. So, what else? Yeah, I only hit like the first two planets or so. So I got like the main. I have like a slow time ability, and then I have force push, I think. And yeah, I quite like it. I have to play a lot more of it, obviously. But the combat feels like really weighty and good, which is nice. And it's nice to see like the lightsaber actually like cutting up crap, because they've underplayed that quite a bit as of late.
Yeah, you know, Disney, they like to keep that a little bit on the PG-er side.
Yeah. There was a funny quote, I mean, we joked about it online, about like there are now trailers for this game, go like, oh, this is the best reviewed Star Wars game in a decade. And it's like, that you might not want to say that, guys. Like, you should keep that a little on the down low. Like,
well, they don't care if people don't buy Battlefront anymore. They just want people to buy this game. So
yeah, but it's like, yeah, we've been fucking up this license for the past 5 to 10 years. Like, we finally made a good one. Who'd have thought it?
Right. Are you, how's the story?
It's fine. It's very much like a, you know, it's very, not, I wouldn't say predictable per se, but, like, hey, your guy got amnesia and lost his connection to the Force, and now you're trying to, you know, visit all these planets and get it back. Like, didn't this happen in KOTOR 1? If also not KOTOR 2? Like,
well, remember, KOTOR is not canon, so...
Yeah, I will say that when they make a movie out of it, because they have no other ideas left.
Probably. That'll be great. They like make it not canon, and they go, "Oh well, we might as well make these canon again, because you know, we have to make movies."
Well, they'll do that, or they'll just go, "Hey, we're making KOTOR, the officially licensed KOTOR game now."
It's like, oh, we finally got BioWare back on the Star Wars games again.
Where they should have been in the first place.
Well, Respawn makes good games.
Yeah, this is good, and it's nice that it's on the Unreal Engine, because you can clearly tell that they're much more comfortable with that game engine than Frostbite, and it just like looks and plays so much better. So please God, don't bring back Frostbite. Or, like, Frostbite's fine in certain specific example. Like, first-person shooter, it's great. But they were trying to adapt it to, like, you know, this is our game engine for everything. It's like, this game engine is not designed for this at all. Like, slow your roll. Like, Unreal Engine has had 20 years of being, you know, adapted and worked on. So that's why it's capable to do pretty much anything it wants, it needs to. This thing, like, barely anyone knows how to actually use it.
Well, anything else you are...
I've been playing Death Stranding, because I got that also. Yeah, that game's weird.
So, well, the understatement weird. Of the year.
Well, it's not the story. Like, the story is dumb, like, or what's going on. So, you know, it's like, kind of just dumb, I think.
I heard someone that, like, loved the game... or whatever, that reviewed it and gave it a high score or whatever, they referred to it as Kojima doing anime-ass shit in a realistic setting.
Except it's not realistic. Like, Metal Gear Solid 4 and 5 are more realistic than this thing, because this is future, you know, future world that, like, is destroyed, essentially, except for, like, these, like, bases that... They don't explain why the bases can survive, at least not yet. Or maybe it's buried in some manual or tip that I don't care to read. So, like, yeah, you pick up packages, you balance them on your back or your body, and you go from outpost to outpost delivering shit. That's it. Or at least that's about as far as I've gotten. And they're like, some of the tooltips are like, oh, you can trade weapons in the game. I'm like, there are weapons? Like,
yeah, there apparently is combat.
Like, I know, like, I found, like, I didn't face them, but there are, like, evil delivery people who are, like, either robots or crazy. I'm not quite sure which. I think they're just crazy. And, like, they saw me, and they started running towards me, but then this, like, time storm happened, and all these invisible other enemies came out and killed them all. They just ran off. I think I, like, listened to a podcast where, like, the guys were just like, yeah, just punch the evil guys, and they just run away, or they just drop what they're carrying. I'm like, all right. Seems simple enough.
That works, too.
Like, the climbing is kind of interesting, and, like, you know, did you ever play, as a kid, Oregon Trail?
Yes.
It reminds me a little of that, actually.
And that's really?
It's really weird to say that, because, like, did you ever beat Oregon Trail?
No, somebody always died of cholera or something.
I mean, that always happens. But, so, like, the, like, very last bit of Oregon Trail, it's very different. Because you're guiding the wagon along this river. Like, it's like a kind of an isometric perspective, almost. And you have to, like, balance the load and, like, not hit rocks with the arrow keys and stuff like that. And this game is kind of like that. Like, you have to keep pressing L2 and R2 to, like, keep your guy straight. Or, like, the weight in his pack straight so he doesn't fall over. It's like, alright. This is weird, but okay.
Who knew you can make a walking sim hard?
Yeah. I mean, it looks really good. The character names are really stupid. Really stupid.
Die Hard Man.
Incredibly, yeah. There's, like, Die Hard Man, Dead Man, who's, like, this doctor friend of yours or something, who was a coroner, but he's not doing that anymore. I think there's another character called Mama, who I haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, another character, I want to say it was, like, Heart Man or something, or I forget his name. But you're, like, getting introduced to this character through voiceover. And it's like, what? Like... And I had to ask, because I know Randy's a big fan of this game. I had to ask him last night. So you have, like, a private room. Like, most of the big bases do, apparently. And that's where you, like, go to, like, take a shower or just kind of hang out. So, like, the first one I was at, it was just, like, very tutorialized. It was, like, you're just sitting in a bed and you have to, like, look around for, like, oh, press X to interact with the BB, or press square to drink a monster energy drink, and stuff like that. And then the next base was like that, too. And I asked him, like, are all these bases just, like, are all these rooms just like that? And he was like, yeah. I was like, that seems really dumb. Like, why can't, like, because you can't move at all. You just move the camera around to, like, different prompts on the game world.
So, but are you learning anything, or...?
No! It's like, yeah, if you want to watch Norman Reedus drink a monster, it's like, I guess I can learn to do that, but... Or watch his, like, naked ass as he takes a shower for a few, like, a minute or two. It's like, okay. And the funniest thing, really, like, this is, like, an hour in, maybe, is, like, after the first mission, he gets back to this base, or one of the bases, and he takes his... starts undressing, and he's wearing a dream catcher necklace.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would really like to think that he would, like, that Norman Reedus himself was just wearing that, like, when he went into the mocap studio and just kept it in. They didn't, like, you know, there's a whole stupid story reason why he's wearing it, but I was like, I could see that guy being pompous enough to wear this.
Why not, right?
Yeah. Like, it's interesting. I'm not gonna say it's bad or good. But, like, the climbing is actually kind of interesting. Or, like, you know, just having to bounce stuff around. But all, like, the, you know, story stuff and the world building is, like, terrible.
Well, there you go. Destiny, the most polarizing game of this year.
I've seen Mads a few times. Mads Mikkelsen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his story is yet. I think he's, like, the bad guy or one of them. And I like... I don't know if it's their last name. I like Leah Sado quite a bit. I think she's fragile in this game. But she was in, like, a Bond movie or some of the Bond and, like, one of the Mission Impossibles, which is weird.
Well, Maz is supposed to be, like, the best character in that game, so...
Yeah. So we will see how that goes. And then, I finished The Tourist, which is still cool. I didn't 100% it yet. But I at least got to, like, the end point. where I was like, do you want to keep going or do you just want to end the game? And I have Disco to still to try for a second and Darksiders Genesis, which I'm curious about.
A lot. That's all. Yeah.
I will put it this way. There's 5 games to review. I won't be reviewing at least 2 of them. We will see which two of those happen at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, definitely we'll see how that stacks up for our Game of the Year 25 lists and the personal lists when we get to them in a few days. But let's take a look back here at the year that was 2019 for the big three, as it were. I mean, I think we might as well just start with Nintendo because they're the ones that had the most to do this year. I think especially after last year, yeah, they're coming off the high that was Smash Brothers. You know, people are kind of coming in wondering, okay, what do they got for this year aside from the expected Pokemon and all that. I don't know that they started off with that Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe. They had that fitness boxing for a while.
Yeah, I didn't like that new Super Mario Brothers game that much.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't think it was anything special at all either. I tried playing with my daughter, and I was more confused, I think, than she was.
Yeah.
They had it kind of took them a while to kind of, like, that second half of the year, I think, aside from, you know, Smash, DLC, you know, they had the Tetris 99 for the Switch Online, which is like the first Switch Online, like, exclusive thing. Did you that was enjoy great. That?
Yeah, I actually got my victory about a month ago, and I was like, yes, finally, I can stop playing this now for a while.
Yeah, but it has
good. Yeah, the only thing problem is really with it is like they have like modern Tetris isn't good because it's all about that stupid T-spin nonsense, not actually about like building Tetrises. Like I think you get more points by doing T-spins than Tetrises, and it's like that. I don't like this. I don't know how to build these, and I don't want to.
Does it follow that here for Tetris 99 too?
Yeah, because I watched like a high level player play it, and he's like building all these like wacky looking things, and I'm like, what are you doing? But then yeah, he's like T spinning like crazy, you know, at the end, and I'm like, oh, that's what you're doing. I don't like this at all. I like to build Tetris pieces or Tetris. You know, towers, and then knock them all out at the end.
Yeah, that's what you should be doing, but you know.
But the one thing I'll say is, like, the different skins are really cool. Like, the Fire Emblem one, the Pokemon one, you know, all those are really neat.
Oh, yeah, different skins? That's awesome.
Well, it's like different skins, they change, like, the, you know, the art and the palette, and they change, like, the music.
Ah.
So that Fire Emblem one in particular is pretty good.
Yeah, after that, I think until you got to, I mean, you had Yoshi's Crafted World, which is fine. It was what it was. I think until you hit Cadence of Hyrule, which is a surprise, and then it kind of just released a couple days later. And Super Mario Maker 2 is when it finally kind of felt like, okay, Nintendo's hitting these games that we thought were going to. We're going to do something.
Yeah.
I feel like Cadence of Hyrule is a kind of a nice little surprise. It was... It's a fun game. Like, I had fun, like, just getting to be Link and trying to match that beat to those, you know, Zelda songs. So...
Yeah, like I said to you, it's a hard game, actually. Or it's hard to keep the beat. has a really great soundtrack. I mean, it's Danny B, so what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. I know you weren't a big fan of Mario Maker 2.
No, it's perfectly serviceable. I think the interface for building levels is bad, and then like playing is fine, but it still had like the online is broken for me and Jens completely. Like we were like badly desyncing like crazy, or like timing out. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, like I think like the new patch with the Zelda stuff looked cool, but it's just not quite enough for me like draw me back into it.
It feels like the game as a whole didn't have the following that the
first one had.
Yeah, the first one is you do not hear that many people playing it or talking that much about it, you know?
Not at all, yeah.
The first one felt like it had a long tail. Like, yes, I know that was some of it was on competitive, certain people being competitive about it or whatever, but you know, it just, this one kind of felt like it came out and it was like, hey, Mario Maker's back. Oh, wait, yeah. This is like the first one. They added all the stuff and then, oh, here's some other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually not until that recent, the Zelda patch that got me interested in it back at all. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, if you would have added something like that fairly quickly after Mario Maker 2 comes out, instead of, I think, wasting a lot of time on the co-op thing that was ultimately kind of a bust.
The co-op thing should have honestly been there in the first place, so that's like the disappointing thing. If it was like, if it launched busted, that would have been a little, I mean, it would have been annoying, but it would have been easier to swallow. But this came later, and it's still broken. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's the bad thing about it. You know, they had a Mobile Ultimate Alliance 3, which you reviewed. I talked about Astral Train. I didn't get to play Daemon X Machina. And then, of course, Fire Emblem Three Houses also came, you know, a bit after that. And you've been absolutely loving that game, as has a lot of people, because it won the fan award for best game.
I would say that's the best game for the Switch for the year, at least. For sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Totally agree. I mean, where do you kind of ultimately like? You said the problem with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 was like the co-op thing where you...
Well, it was the boss fights. There were way too many of them. And like each boss, you have to like stun them to make them like vulnerable to damage. And it just took fucking forever. It's like, holy crap. Like, you know, boss fights in the first game, the first two were like, they had like invulnerable, they had like, attacks or like, you know, sequences where they were invulnerable for like a little while, but then you just keep like wailing on them. But this game, yeah, you just keep wailing on these guys and it just takes forever to like deal any damage to them. It's like, oh man, this is not fun at all.
Yeah. I agree.
I think it's admirable that they keep supporting it. Like, I don't wish them harm, but I wish the games had played better, or the game played better, like at least like the old, like the first two ones, at least Marvel Heroes. I'd much prefer that. And the fact that they have no gear is just bizarre to me, because that's what the whole game was supposed to be, like a dungeon crawler, and they removed the dungeon part.
Yeah, speaking of dungeons, they added in a dungeon creator to Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, and that didn't come out very well, but the rest of the game did, at least.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be on my Game of the Year list necessarily, but it was really well made, and it was fun.
Yeah. That's a game that a lot of people were waiting on, and it delivered on it. I think a lot of what everybody wanted for that.
Yeah.
You've been playing Luigi's Mansion 3, right?
Yeah. It's good. I mean, it's the first one I've been playing, but yeah, it's tough, but it's really intellectual and good. Yeah.
Yeah, I've talked a bunch about Pokemon. Dragon Quest XI is great to have. It looks I think, just as good as the PS4 version. The one thing that sucks is the... I get that this is very hard to do. It's not easy to do it like you have in the other games. But it would be really nice if they would have made it to where you could just switch on and off the... Well, I don't think they could have done it because of the way it's 3D or whatever. But you kind of... You can't easily switch between the 2D and the 3D. You have to start a whole new save. You don't have to start a whole new save, but you have to have a different save for the 2D. So it kind of makes you not want to do that. You either have to play the whole game in 2D or you play the whole game in 3D or whatever. And that game's so long, I don't think you want to go back and play it again. And I've played some of Ring Fit Adventure. It is fun. It actually does what it's supposed to do. It actually feels like you get more of a workout than, say, like you did with the Wii Fit or whatever. Yeah. So, if you're one of those people that has, like, a family around that you want that family game while you get some exercise, I definitely think that that's worth getting. So, if you include that with... That's just, the first party stuff. If you include, all the indies that helped, the Switch. I mean, you had Mortal Kombat 11 showed up on the Switch. I mean, obviously Bethesda continued to support it with Doom, with, Wolfenstein Youngblood. You had, Cuphead and Ori and the Blind Forest showed up on Switch, which... I think it's still amazing to me that Microsoft had them show up on that system. Overwatch wasn't great. Neither was Spyro, but they showed up on there. I mean...
Overwatch was pretty nasty, actually.
Witcher 3 looks terrible if you play it on your TV. So I wouldn't recommend that at all.
Yeah.
Bloodstained didn't turn out well either.
Well, on the Switch particularly.
On the Switch.
I think they did patch it, so it's like pretty decent now at least. That's like the last thing I saw about it.
Yeah, I mean, and they also had the Smash DLC, which, you got Banjo, you got Terry from King of Fighters, you got the Hero, you got Joker. I mean, you can't really complain too much of that. I think, obviously, the Switch was the number one console this year, and they backed it up with games, and I think this year was insanely great for Nintendo.
Yeah.
I mean, it took them forever to get the Super Nintendo stuff out there. I still think you could... do a little better about how that's coming out or whatever, but I guess if they're going to release it in a big chunk like they did this year or in December, like every couple months or something, I guess it isn't too bad.
Yeah, they're adding Star Fox, which looks like, okay.
Or Star Fox 2 Super, Kirby Superstar, which is one of the best games on the system.
So I bought a copy of that recently, that Kirby Superstar game.
Yeah.
And the case is broken. One of the screw holes was, like, actually busted inside the case, so, like, half the case, like, it closes well enough, but you can kind of tell, like, this isn't closing correctly.
Well, let's, thinking about, like, this next, I mean, we had the Switch Lite, right, that came as well, there's a lot of talk about, will there be a Switch Pro? There's been rumors as that this is that there's a Switch Pro happening. Nintendo just won't talk about it. They revealed the Breath of the Wild 2. We know Bayonetta 3 is there. We know Metroid Prime 4 is coming. We just haven't heard anything about those two games at all. We know Animal Crossing New Horizons is coming. which is March 20th. There's some new Brain Age game coming that's hitting Japan, but we don't know if it's coming here or not. There's the two ports, the Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE and the Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive, and probably a new Detective Pikachu. Obviously the Switch has life left, you know, but do you feel like it'll be fine without having a Switch Pro with the two new systems coming, or do you think it needs to have it?
I think it'll need to have it eventually, but it depends on how fast it can gear up making crap for the PS5 and the Series 10. If it takes like 2 years, then I think Nintendo will be safe, but if it's a lot quicker, they might have issues. Like, you know, they're not going to be porting over that stupid God, you know, game from the Borderlands team, whatever it was called.
Godfall, yeah.
Yeah, the super memorable Godfall. Like, so I don't think ports from like those systems are going to make the Switch at all. But as long as there's still like a good like audience for Nintendo games, and there always will be, then it will be fine, at least for the short term.
Yeah, because even the Microsoft system, like if the base is the Xbox One X, like the original, I don't think that works for the Switch unless the Switch Pro is able to handle that, and even then you're probably going to get like the downgraded ports, like the Bethesda games or you know what you've been having with The Witcher and stuff like that. So yeah. Do you really want that on your system just to be able to have it? And I don't know that that helps Nintendo at all in that front. And as we're going to see for 2020, all three of these companies have a lot of stuff coming. And I have a feeling we got to at least get one of the big three that I talked about from Nintendo in 2020. But we don't know what else is coming on the pipeline because they've been very secretive about it. You'd think that there's some Pokemon thing coming, whatever that is.
I wouldn't actually say that.
Unless they're developing like another Let's Go or something.
I mean, I think people might want like just make another Pokemon Snap.
Or maybe just take a Pokemon break. That would be perhaps good for it too.
I could see them like releasing more DLC or DLC for this Pokemon Sword thing, Sword and Shield. But yeah, like, if they release like another new Pokemon game for this year or for next year, but like, all right, you're turning this into a little more of an annualized franchise than I think most people want. Please stop for at least a year or two.
I would hope that that's their intention here, but we'll see.
Nintendo's not. They really aren't ones for like really like exploiting their franchises too much. I mean, they can, but they don't typically do it. Cause I think they see enough value in only having like one Mario game per console or, you know, stuff like that. That I think they still like that idea.
Yeah, and they did support Mario, they supported Zelda. We'll probably see that. I'm going to state that it'd be so weird if you're not going to release the Metroid Prime Collection on this thing. And that's a big release that you could have in your back pocket for whenever you want to drop that.
Right, if they just said, hey, Metroid Prime is out to trilogy out tomorrow, people would go nuts.
Yeah, and I mean, this has been, it's also still a big old, there's a lot of companies like Capcom and Square that have used it as a big old port machine. I mean, you got almost all the Final Fantasies on there, which is incredible. Still, I mean, you got all the Resident Evils almost on. I mean, all the old Resident Evils anyway.
They'll find a way to port Resident Evil 2 to that thing.
Maybe.
Remember when they ported Resident Evil 2 to the N64?
Yes.
That was weird. That was awesome, but it was weird.
Yeah, it was certainly weird. I mean,
I think it was like the most expensive cartridge like, it was still the same price, but it had, like, a ton more memory than, like, the regular A64 cartridge was supposed to have.
Eh, at least it's better than the StarCraft
64 port.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That's bad.
It was fine, but yeah. I had a buddy, like, do a video on it, because he was reviewing ports at the time.
Yeah.
But it was interesting enough.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting the Trials of Mana is also coming to that, which is kind of cool. So, you know, Konami's still doing port jobs, too, so you'll have that. I mean, will Nintendo ever get into, hey, remember that the people that are playing these games now are kind of older, and yeah, their nostalgia is 64 and GameCube. Will you ever get to that point? I don't know, but it might be a good idea to think
also,
about.
Also, I think next year they might actually do release that, like, N64 Classic.
You think so?
Because I think at that point, like, computers of that scope will be a lot smaller or cheaper or more powerful, so that mm-hmm. they'll be able to do it better.
Oh, maybe.
Like the, or, you know, the problem with that PS1 Classic isn't really the hardware necessarily. It's like the software that's running it. It's just bad. And, you know, half the games were Europe, so they sucked.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just seemed like a bad, we don't give a shit job because you're putting half the, you know.
But, like, people have hacked that thing up and down to, you know, basically run every game just fine.
Right.
And I think they've even been hacking, like, other systems to run it, or, you know, other systems to run off of it. So it's like, all right, if you want to do that, feel free.
Yeah, so far I think we don't have to worry about the Switch. I think if you recently got one with the Lite, or you're going to get one for Christmas or whatever, there is a ton of games to play on this thing. It's almost becoming like Steam, where every week you can count on at least like 10 games showing up on the store that you have no idea what the hell it is.
Yeah.
Or games that maybe you heard about a couple of them and then you find some indie gems in there, you know, so, or some old ports that you had no idea were coming, like, so, you know, that's the cool thing about the Switch is you kind of never know sometimes what's going to show up on it, so.
Yeah.
It is kind of neat in that way, and I'm sure that will continue into 2020 at least, for Nintendo. Moving on to Sony, because we talked a little bit more about Microsoft earlier, so I'll leave them to the end. Sony released Days Gone, and they had some, I don't think they're all, like, Sony made, per se, but they had some good PSVR releases in Asgard's Wrath and Blood and Truth, and they're still supporting PSVR,
I think those two in particular are actually, like, multi-platform, but they work well in the PSVR, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And Trevor Saves the Universe, too, got a lot of publicity.
Yeah.
You know, aside from that and Death Stranding, that was their two big games. Days Gone perhaps is not one of their best.
It is serviceable, but yeah, it's just too long. That's the thing.
And you had Death Stranding, which is perhaps one of the most controversial games of the year, where you have a lot of people that absolutely love it, and you had people that can't stand it, and you had people that are kind of in the middle on it. So, yeah, I mean, I know you haven't played a lot of it, but
yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I can certainly say that, at least. If not yet.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Mark's discussed that Randy Isabel loves the game. I don't know if
Dan's liked it to a point, let's say that.
So what was his point that made him not like it then?
It went on just for too long, or and the story didn't wrap up well. And also, he hated the boss fights with Mads.
Why did he do?
There are like multiple boss fights with that character, so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing with Sony is this year, 2020, they're certainly looking more towards the future.
But, I mean, yes, they are, but they still have games coming out for next year, like Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us 2. I mean, it's better than we can
say. I mean, they had the Dreams beta, too, which I forgot about. But
yeah, that's already out, but right. It's coming out, like, officially next, like, February or something. And they had Concrete Jungle as well, but no one seemingly played that.
Or Concrete Genie, yeah. It felt like that thing dropped and people had no idea that it was there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was weird because it was a game I think people were kind of excited for, and then just
nothing. I think it went dark for way too long. Like, it had that really good trailer in, like, 2016, and then there was, like, nothing about it for, like, the next 2 years. Until mm-hmm. I was like, hey, it's out. I was like, huh? What? What is this? Or, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, they had the show as well, which is always great on its own merit.
Not too much longer.
Yeah, not too much longer, but at least for 2020 as well. I think the things to look at for Sony were kind of little things, right? Things where they finally kind of decided, thanks to pushes from Microsoft and Nintendo, not so much because I think they wanted to do it, but they were kind of pushed towards, oh, we gotta let some of these games get crossplay.
Yeah, I think Mortal Kombat just got crossplay with a K like a week ago or a few days ago.
Yeah, with a freaking patch, and like it was like no big deal.
Yeah.
They let players.
We should have been doing this a few hours earlier.
Yeah, they let players change their gamer screen names finally, which took forever for them to finally do.
I mean, I think if they could have done it better or quicker, they would have, but I think it was really a system infrastructure thing, or they had to like really work, like hammer it out for a while.
Yeah, they improved their PS Now, dropped the price, and let you download games, which you've talked about, but it's still got its quirks. You know, it's not as available as Game Pass, and to be fair, they don't need to do that because people are buying PS4s like crazy, or they were for a long time, and you know, but they did put God of War on it, and they put Bloodborne and some other good games on there.
Who would imagine having like an actual game library that people would want to spend money on? What a concept.
They did increase the cloud save storage too, which is nice.
Yeah.
I guess. But they did have to shut down PlayStation View.
Yeah.
Didn't you use that?
Or were you still using that or what?
I used it for a long time. I liked it. They made improvements where you had the picture-in-picture with, like, up to fives. You could watch three things at once. It worked great for sports. You could have five screens at a time. They really did improve it a lot.
Back to the Future Part 2 dream you've been looking for.
Yeah, right. They did really improve it a lot. It's just they kept putting the price up, like, way too much.
Like every other cable company or cable system in the world.
Well, and every streaming service at this point, they keep going up too. It's getting to the point where, is this really better than cable? Because all those streaming cable things, they keep going up and up and up too. And it's going to get to the point where, do you really want to pay for that?
Well, now it's like, you know, you have to sign up for like nine of those things. So it's like, oh man.
Yeah, no, I keep looking at how many I have, and I'm just like, this is ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
I think 2020 is the thing we got to look at. You know, Last of Us Part 2 has a release date. Ghost of Tsushima has a release area. Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming to the PS4 by itself for a whole year.
Yeah.
Neo 2 is coming at some point. You got the Iron Man VR game. So you got a lot going for them there. Plus, you know, Cyberpunk and some of the other multi-platform games. Or Persona 5 Royal.
Yeah.
So Sony's got a lot coming for this year. And as we'll talk about with Microsoft, it's a good idea because you need big games that make people go, okay, I want more of this with the PS5.
Right.
So,
like, do you believe, because I think Microsoft has pretty much already said that, like, Xbox One games are going to be compatible with the new one. Do you think that the PS4 would be compatible with the PS5 library? Or the PS5, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, PS4 games will work on the PS5.
Yeah.
Yes. I think they've sort of said that already.
Okay.
They sort of made hints to it that they would make sure that it happened.
So here's a better question. Do you think every game will work?
That I don't know. And I do worry about your... How are they going to make the downloads work? You know?
I think those work fine. I mean, 'cause
yeah.
The question I have kind of is this. Like, I still have PT in my PS4. I'm wondering if I can somehow transfer it to a PS5.
I don't know about that. That's more of a Konami thing than a Sony thing.
I can just export it to a USB stick and then upload it to my PS5 and go, hey, I have this game. I want to install it.
So at least of our worries there, I think. But no. I think definitely they learned their lesson from the PS3 and wanted to make sure that whatever they did with the PS5 was going to work with PS4 stuff because, hey, I mean, people are still probably going to be playing some of these 2020 games.
Oh, yeah.
And we know how launch lineups are. It's usually like a big old wasteland, so, you know.
Yep.
Being able to still play your really good games until something that you really want comes out on your new system is very helpful.
Right.
And nobody knows that better than Microsoft, who has spent the better part of the last 2 years, I think as we talked about a lot on the last show, of becoming consumer first. You know, and you can make fun of the name of their new system or whatever, but they have tried to give you options with everything. And we'll see if that really translates into more people deciding that they want to go the Microsoft route, or at least be subscribed to their service, or whatever. You know, will this get people to be on the xCloud? Will this get people to do all that? But, you know, one of the things that they, aside from releasing Gears 5, which was their one standout game this year, which I don't know if that got hurt by being on Game Pass, that a lot of people didn't talk about it, or it's just, I don't know, people kind of wrote...
Like, you know, if they just played it and beat it and moved on, it didn't stick with, you know...
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily stick with them.
that could have been it. They released another game, which I can't... Oh, Crackdown 3, that's why I can't, because it's bad.
Yeah. I remember that, but I...
Oh, well, it was okay. It wasn't terrible, but it was just okay.
Yeah.
It's like Days Gone. Like, it's not anything, you know.
No, Days Gone is functional. Crackdown 3 is not.
But yeah, most of what you got from Xbox for this year was, okay, we acquired studios. Here's some things they're working on. We saw the culmination of that with Hellblade 2 at the Game Awards. Hey, go get Game Pass. Go get the All Access Pass if you want an Xbox and you can't just afford it straight up. Get Game Pass Ultimate if you want to be able to play it on your PC as well. You can be in the Project S Cloud beta thing. Yeah, it just felt like all they were, the Xbox One sad, the all digital came out, which
no one cared about.
Yeah, it didn't help itself that the one with the disc drive was already out there, even cheaper. You know, aside from that, I think, again, this was Microsoft kind of getting themselves ready for 2020 and beyond. I mean, they tried to figure out Mixer by signing Ninja and all those and some other people to exclusive deals to try to get stuff there. But yeah, I think what's important for them is, can they take this and get people to get into their ecosystem any way they can? Do you think that's going to happen for them? Like, do you think that all this goodwill they built up might actually pay off?
I think they're hoping it will, but I think it just still depends on their message about the actual system and showing games for it.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that they learned with all the studio acquisitions is, okay, we got to have games.
Yeah. There's not going to be HDMI in or out for this, you know, for this new thing. I expect.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you got that for the most part. Yeah. You got, you know, Ori and the Will of the Wisps coming. You got that Grounded game from Obsidian that we don't know too much about, but it's supposed to be coming in the spring. Bleeding Edge game, I'm not too... That's that, right. Like, multiplayer thing, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that has the weird characters. It's like their games of service thing.
Yeah.
I'm not that down on that, but Don't Nod has a game coming. Tell me why.
Right.
The Battletoads game's coming. Everwild from Rare is coming. We know Hellblade 2. And then Halo, of course, is coming with the launch of the system. So yep. as long as it doesn't get delayed, so. Certainly the games are perhaps going to be there, or at least you get an idea that Microsoft is certainly more into making... Oh, there's also Wasteland 3. You know, but they're also adding a lot more games to Game Pass. You know, they're doing a lot more as you go into 2020. And, you know, they've revealed the console, at least, you know, a picture of it, a video of it, and at the Game Awards, we still have to kind of see it in the flesh or whatever. And is there going to be a Series S? I think that's important. But things look bright for them, at least. We'll have to see.
Well, I'm sure brighter than they've looked for a long time.
Yeah, do you think any of this might push Sony or Nintendo to be like, maybe we should get a service as well, or?
Nintendo, no. Sony, maybe. Yeah, I don't think Nintendo still really knows how the internet works.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can barely get their retro stuff going, so maybe we should let them do that first.
Right.
But yeah, I think 2020 is going to be fun. 2020 is going to be a gaming year. I think we're all going to be going up and down and remembering for a lot of things and the craziness of launch and what it is to wind down a console generation and wind down a decade, you know, wind down a decade and start another one. I mean, that's kind of funny to think about, right? Like, it's the end of the 2010s. We're going into a whole new decade. So there'll be a lot to talk about in this coming year. And again, as we already mentioned, like, they are not playing around. Starting in the middle of January, we're already getting stuff. So not a lot of rest going to be going on here between this little bit of time before Christmas, and already by that time next month we'll be playing some games again.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that Resident Evil 3 remake.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be awesome if 2 is anything to go by, for sure.
But the three games I'm looking forward to is that Persona 5 Royal and then Persona 5 Scramble.
Yeah, I'm excited for Scramble. I don't know if I'm going to get Royal until it goes onto some kind of sale or something.
Yeah, that's understandable. Like, I'm a huge nut for that game, so I'll buy it. It's day one for me. The Final Fantasy VII should also be good.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Did you see that they trademarked Persona 5 Strikers?
No.
Yeah, I think it was just today, or maybe like yesterday or something. It was like trademarked it. I hope that's like a Persona 5 soccer game.
That would be amazing. I'm so down for that. Let's do that.
It's like Mega Man soccer back in the day for the SNES.
Right. Okay. I think that's it. I should have done this at the beginning, but thank you for listening. You know, hopefully you'll be back on Friday morning for the big top 25 show.
Yeah.
And I will also reveal our personal top 10s then. Yep. And yeah. Then I don't know, we'll be back after that to talk about what's going on. As far as game releases go, you got Untitled Goose Game coming to PS4 and Xbox, and you got Watam, which is the new game from the Katamari Damacy creator, so looks like some people are already really loving that and the craziness that goes along with those kind of games. So, for Mark and myself, hopefully you'll listen to us on all of those places that there are podcasts. Write a review if you care to do so. And until then, we'll see you later, everybody.
Later.
It's Decorating with Duncan.
Hey, your desk looks great. Really festive with all the decorations.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, this Dunkin' Peppermint Mocha Latte gave me a little pick-me-up, and I decided to go for it.
Whoa, you even lined your desk drawers with musical lights?
Yep, and look what's inside. A Dunkin' Gingerbread S'mores Latte for you.
Get holiday in a Dunkin' with a $2 medium latte, cappuccino, or Americano from 2 to 6 p.m. The holidays run on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Is your cell phone bill out of control? Then this is your wake-up call. The new TracFone Wireless gives you unlimited talk and text starting at $20 a month, no contract, plus unlimited carryover data with active service. Yep, the new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control. See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.